Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Micah Van Hus continues his series studying secret societies. Thank you for being here and spending part of your day with us. Southwest Radio Ministries will celebrate 91 years of ministry next month. We're able to be in our ninth decade because of the faithful financial support from you. Your continued financial gifts allow us to bring programs, articles, and books to you that proclaim the truth and encourage your faith. We're blessed to have individuals, families, and businesses across the country supporting Watchmen on the Wall. Friends, we need your help this month. Would you please prayerfully consider giving a gift today? You can give your gift by phone, 1-800-652-1144. Or you can give your gift online at our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Please know all gifts given today are needed and they're greatly appreciated. Now, here's John Ruiz and Micah Van Hus with part three of Secret Societies.
Hello and welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a production of Southwest Radio Ministries. We're so glad to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is author Micah Van Hus, who has just completed a fascinating new book called Secret Societies. Micah is the author of a couple of other wonderful books, Ancient Cities and the Earth as It Was. You can find those books and many other lovely gifts and interesting things at marginalmysteries.com, and that will take you then to swrc.com, which is the website for Southwest Radio Ministries. And we encourage you to go and take a look and pre-order a copy of Micah's book. You will not be sorry you did. It is genuinely fascinating. Micah and I have had the privilege of sitting together and talking about so many old and interesting stories. When we left you last, we were talking about the Knights Templar and the organization, how it began and what it led to in more modern times. And we have been looking at the evolving situation of hidden knowledge and what it means to all of us here today. Micah, take it away.
Thank you, John. So we wanted to lead from the Knights Templar into the founding of the United States and what they had to do with that, the New World. In 1307, King Philip IV of France, he was deeply in debt to the Templars, to Jews, and so he started persecuting the Templars and the Jews. After all, what better way to get rid of your debt than to take out the people to whom you owe it? So in 1307, he rounded up the Templars and accused them of all kinds of heresies, spitting on the cross, praying to Baphomet, and possibly even being secret Muslims. And then he burned a number of them at the stake. And of course, this took place in France. Now, all across Europe, the Knights Templars were legends in their own time. So they actually fared quite well in other countries. But due to what King Philip IV had done, they had to go underground. They had to become more secret. Officially, history says that the Knights Templar were stamped out in those years down to 1314. Where Jacques de Molay, the last Grand Marshal of the Templars, was burned at the stake. Officially, they disappeared in history, but really, they just went underground and they became the Order of the Knights of Christ in Portugal. We also get into the treasures of the Knights Templar, the holy relics that they had, and it is speculated that Portugal actually derives from the phrase Port of the Grail. And there is a letter from the King of Portugal at the time to the Templars, that's cryptic, and folks think that it points to the Port of the Grail, and that's where Portugal gets its name. Before we get on to the spread of the Knights Templar, Jacques de Molay, when he was burned at the stake, King Philip told him to confess publicly, which de Molay agreed to. And then when he got out there, he didn't confess and recant his statements. He said, King Philip IV and Pope Clement V, I think was his pope, you have wronged us, and within the year, you two will be dead. And then they burned de Molay at the stake, and within a year, both the pope and the king were dead. A fascinating story on that. Also, that persecution is where we get Friday the 13th being unlucky. It was Friday the 13th in 1307 in October where the Knights Templar were arrested. So from Portugal, we get the world explorers, all kinds of explorers sailing from Portugal around the world and making discoveries. So when you look at portraits of the great explorers of the time, we're talking about Magellan, we're talking about Henry the Navigator, you look at what they're wearing Templar crosses in their portraits. Go look at them. What is displayed on the sails of Christopher Columbus's ships? The Niña, Pinta, and Santa Maria all have Templar crosses on the sails. So no, the Templars were not stamped out in 1314. They actually just became more secretive, went underground, and established their kingdom all around the world. So fascinating story in the Templars.
It is, and also the fact that the Templars could have landed in North America
yes.
much sooner than in our history than we might have thought.
Absolutely, and there's evidence, 100% evidence to me, that there are plenty of cultures who landed in America.
Yes.
The Egyptians, long time ago. Let's stick with the Templars, but I want to talk about the Kon-Tiki and other things, which we will. Secrets of the Smithsonian chapter in the book. But yes, the Templars, so they had their legendary treasure, which King Philip IV was trying to get his hands on. There's all kinds of stories of that treasure making its way to France and eventually into England and eventually into Scotland. You get into the movie The Da Vinci Code, which has a lot of heretical teachings, but it has interesting things about Roslyn Chapel and the DM Code on the Shepherds of Acadia statue and painting. The painting's in Louvre in France, and the statue is in Scotland. And they both kind of combine to give the code that so too in Acadia, I think is what it says, something like about Acadia. Well, Acadia is the ancient name for the eastern seaboard of Canada. And so we get over to Nova Scotia, and you see this in the popular television show The Curse of Oak Island, the money pit, where there is something buried deep, and we haven't been able to get to it. In fact, for 200 years, people have been digging at the money pit, including President Eisenhower, I believe. It's one of the U.S. presidents. There's a picture of him there.
Franklin Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, thank you. He's there digging. There's pictures of him. So it is quite possible that the Templars made their way to Nova Scotia.
And isn't it fascinating that we, with all our technology and knowledge, can't get down in there
right.
even now?
The reason we can't get down in there is because whoever dug the money pit, they put a bunch of channels deep into the pit that reach out to the ocean nearby. Basically, when the tides come, it pours the pit full of water. And still today, we can't get down to what's in the bottom of the money pit.
So they knew what they were doing
yeah.
to protect their
yeah.
secret.
And in those channels that they dug, there are coconut fibers from Africa. So it's obvious that someone from the Asia and Africa and Europe had sailed over there to dig that pit from the different things that are found. But yeah, that's one of the stories of the Templars. We have relics from, I think, Arizona. They have crosses and swords carved into little necklaces. We've got Nantucket stones, I think they're called. It's got the hooked X. There's two carvings. Again, there's two Nantucket stones. They got the hooked X, which is an X with a little hook on it, which represents the Rex Deus bloodline, which I talked about a little bit earlier, and we'll talk about it in the next segment, the last segment, about the Merovingian bloodline, the bloodline of the Antichrist is what I believe that is. They will say that it is the bloodline of Jesus. I totally disagree with that. The Rex Deus bloodline says that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had a child. She traveled to France and married into the Merovingian bloodlines, and that Jesus' son offspring will come out one day. But I think that is a satanic bloodline when we talk about the Rex Deus bloodline. In fact, the Order of Solon, I believe, is tasked with guarding the Rex Deus bloodline. They're mentioned in the Da Vinci Code and other things like that. They protect the Merovingian bloodline, the Rex Deus bloodline. So, but anyway, that's what we get into when we start talking about people coming from Europe into the Americas.
One of the interesting things that keeps coming up over the course of reading your book is the involvement of our adversary, the father of lies. I believe he is described in the scriptures, and his considerable abilities to create difficulties, misunderstanding, confusion, the father of all lies, mm-hmm. and the deception that he has managed to basically envelop the earth in. You make a number of very interesting points as we go through mm-hmm. your book and the fact that in your belief that God has kept that protective hedge around America, and we don't know how much longer that's going to be the case. Do you think that politically we have helped to sow the seeds of our own demise with... You have this wonderful chapter called Weaving Spiders, and you talk about the Bohemian Grove being a magnet for political figures, but then we have to come clean with some of the things that have happened in American history and in world history. The trafficking of children, the abuse of children, the widespread use of slavery, and certainly that includes the Catholic Church. It's not limited to the Southerners in America.
God does talk about a great deception, a great delusion towards the end times. And in the book, I have a chapter dedicated to the great deception. And what I believe the great deception is the Catholic Church. And again, I'll state here that I believe it's the leadership of the Catholic Church. I think that Satan has nestled himself right up next to the leadership of the Catholic Church. Satan is the great deceiver, and what better way to deceive people than putting himself so close to the truth? And again, just because someone is a Catholic doesn't mean that they are in on what the elites of their society, what the elites of their organization is doing. But the Catholic Church, it was even Pope Paul VI himself said that there is a smoke that has entered the Catholic Church, and Satan has entered the Catholic Church through some crack. And that was the Pope back in the mid-20th century who said that. But we talk about a lot of the fascinating symbolism in the Catholic Church. So how did Catholicism start? Well, not start, but how did it become mainstream? I would contribute that to Constantine, the Roman emperor, around 300 AD. And so according to history, Constantine popularized Catholicism. He brought Catholicism mainstream by converting. He was a Roman emperor. He worshipped Roman pagan gods, but he converted to Christianity. And he convened the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, which was the first church doctrine that was laid forth, because we know the Catholic Church is full of rules and regulations and how things are going to be through man's eyes as opposed to the Bible, me saying that as a Protestant. But yes, the Council of Nicaea laid all that out. So what I think happened is Constantine did not actually convert to Christianity. I think that he brought Christianity, and the Roman pagan gods together into one organization known as Catholicism. Isis, the wife of Nimrod, who was Semiramis, also Isis and Ishtar, Isis became the Virgin Mary in 325 at the Council of Nicaea, officially in doctrine. So, no, excuse me, not officially in doctrine, but I speculate that's what's going on. Constantine, there was a struggle, a civil war in Rome, and Constantine and another emperor were getting ready to battle. It was one of those two was going to end up being emperor, and they had to battle. But on the eve of battle, Constantine had a dream that he saw an angel in the sky holding an emblazoned cross, and the cross appeared on Constantine's soldiers, and in the sky the words were written, "In this sign you will conquer." Constantine won the Battle of Milvian Bridge and converted to Christianity afterwards, according to history. The origins of the Catholic Church, I believe, were a merging of Christianity and paganism. The Celts, they built a temple to Isis in around 300 AD, and in 1100, around 1100, that city became known as Paris, France, and on top of the Isis temple was built the Notre Dame, which is the temple of Mary. So I think that that further evidences that Mary is from Isis, and Mary is actually Isis, which we'll get into in the End Times Beast Empire segment in the book. But the Catholic Church, full of symbolism, full of secrets. They have an observatory out in Arizona. It's their second observatory, and they talk about looking for aliens. In fact, the Catholic priest is the one who came up with the Big Bang theory. It was a Catholic priest who did that. The Secret of Fatima, three shepherd children in the early 1900s, I think 1917, had a vision of a woman, a shining woman, supposedly Mary. She gave him three prophecies that two of the children would die, and they did very soon, within 2 years. And that the third secret she shared with the surviving child was kept hidden by the Vatican. She became a nun, and the Vatican kept that hidden. And she said not to release it until 1960 when they would understand it better. But the Vatican kept that third secret of Fatima under wraps until the year 2000 when they only brought out part of the secret. They didn't bring out the whole secret. It was a vision of a holy man ascending a hill to reach a cross, and all the armies of the world were killing the holy men as they were trying to get to the cross, and angels were gathering their blood and sprinkling it on the cross as their souls went to heaven. But that was only part of the secret that the nun had told. The other part of the secret was is that the great apostasy would start at the head of the Catholic Church. And there are a number of cardinals and priests who came out and said that the Catholic Church did not give the whole truth. When we look at the one of the most fascinating things, and it's hard to see on the radio, it's hard to understand on the radio, but we have imagery in my presentations and in the book, the Pope the Sixth Audience Hall. It is where the Pope obviously has a lot of meetings when it rains. Instead of going to the square, he will go inside to the Pope Sixth Audience Hall. And behind him is a very demonic-looking statue of Jesus resurrecting souls from a nuclear holocaust. In there, you will find no Christian symbolism whatsoever other than that supposed statue of Christ. But when you look at the audience hall shape, it is exactly like a serpent. So in the book, we call it the altar to the serpent from the Catholic Church.
It's eerie.
Yeah.
When you get back from it and look at it, your description of it is exactly true. You can see the eyes of the serpent, yeah. The fangs of the serpent.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
Its tongue as well, the red carpet.
Yeah.
Before we get into the rest of it, if you are interested in what we're talking about, this is my new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. You can get a copy of that on marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. Also, on Marginal Mysteries, we have links to all of our social media. We do fascinating, I think they're fascinating, a lot of folks tell me they are, YouTube videos on different topics, a lot of the topics, the topics we talk about. So be sure to connect at marginalmysteries.com. Follow us on Facebook, which is also linked from marginalmysteries.com. Yeah, the Catholic Church being the great deception, it was St. Malachy in 1100-something AD who brought out the prophecy of the popes. Basically, he prophesied that there would be 112 more popes before the last pope and the Antichrist. To predict these popes, he gave a short Latin phrase, sometimes two words, saying something about the pope. Not all of his predictions have been accurate, I would say. Of course, it's mysterious. You know, you can always try to twist something to find something that fits with all these popes. For instance, the last pope, Pope Benedict XVI, I believe, he said, from the olive. That was his prediction 900 years ago. Well, Pope Benedict was from the Olivetans, so, you know, it's possible that he was right on that. Let's see, Pope Pius X, I believe. He said that, no, it's not Pius X. Anyway, World War I Pope, he said Christianity would be decimated under his rule. And of course, in Russia, the revolution in Russia, priests were enslaved and churches burned and millions of Christians were killed. Not in World War I, millions were killed in World War I, but millions of Christians were killed. Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution afterwards. But the most fascinating thing about the Malachy prophecies, whether you believe his prophecies are right or not, is the fact that he said there would be 112 more. Well, guess who the 112th pope is? That would be the current pope, Francis. So we will soon know whether Malachy was prophetic or not. Fascinating things with the Catholic Church. So when it comes to the revealing of the great deception, I think that the Whore of Babylon in Revelation that we find throughout Revelation, and specifically here in Revelation 13, is Mary will reveal herself to not be Mary, the mother of Jesus, but Isis. Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. And in the next segment, we are going to get into Nimrod and his resurrection and all that symbolism, which is fascinating stuff. So during World War II, Pope Pius XI was the pope just before World War II. He died in 1939. Pope Pius was outspoken against the Nazi regime, but when Pope Pius XII came into power, was voted in as pope, he was silent on the atrocities that the Nazis were committing against all kinds of groups, specifically the Jews. So Pope Pius XII actually thought that he was going to be pope under a Europe controlled by Nazi Germany, which is one of the reasons why he didn't speak out against the atrocities. He did hide some Jews in his house, but that is the extent. He never publicly spoke about the evils. A pope doesn't have swords and guns. A pope has his voice. And he stayed silent on the atrocity of the Nazis. It wasn't just Pope Pius XII. It was the cardinal after World War II that helped smuggle Nazi SS officers out of Europe.
Which was commonly known, I think, as the Rat Hole or Rat Avenue.
That sounds right. Yeah. So, I mean, high-profile Nazis, too. We're talking about the doctor at Auschwitz. I mean, all kinds of high-profile Nazis that he smuggled out. So, anyway, I don't want to sit here and dog on the Catholic Church, but I do want to show that I do believe the Catholic Church is the great deception. And, of course, we go back into the Dark Ages during the Inquisition and the atrocities committed by the Catholic Church, burning people alive for reading the Bible because they wanted to be the mediator between God and man instead of Jesus. For instance, Jesus tells us, don't call anyone on this earth Father, for there is one Father, you are in heaven. But what does Pope mean? Pope comes from Latin papus, which means Father. There are millions of people who call the Pope Father when Jesus directly says, don't call anyone Father. All of those evidences, I believe, leads into the Catholic Church as the great deception. And we'll talk about this in the next segment. That leads us into the one world religion. I don't think the one world religion will be Catholicism, but I think Catholicism will be the catalyst to usher it in.
Leading to it.
Yeah. And while we're still in this segment, let's talk about the Bohemian Grove.
I was going to ask you, you were very even-handed in your criticisms about deceptions and the secreting of knowledge and so forth. We are not here to beat up only on the Catholic Church. That's not our purpose. We have plenty of difficulties right here in America in Protestant fashion or in political fashion. You have an interesting chapter, as I had mentioned previously, about weaving spiders and the Bohemian Grove. Mm-hmm. Talk about that just a bit.
And real quick on what you just said, yeah. So again, I was in politics in the state legislature, passed the heartbeat bill. The Tennessee Right to Life and the Catholic Church of Tennessee actually worked against the heartbeat bill. And the media gave me plenty of opportunities to dog on the Tennessee Right to Life, which I never did publicly, and never dogged on the Catholic Church during that whole them opposing the heartbeat bill in Tennessee.
So. But isn't that a fascinating reality? We're fascinating everywhere. What you say, talking about the appearance of the organization or the people, is not necessarily what you find behind the scenes.
Yeah, and again, we'll take the opportunity to say that the low-level members and employees don't necessarily know what's going on, that the people at the top, the 33rd degree Masons, the people at the top know what's going on. So the Bohemian Grove, to wrap up this segment, Bohemian Grove is a fascinating group, much like the Skull and Bones. It's a club, a gentleman's club, and obviously nowadays it's a women and gentlemen's club. So the Bohemian Grove is out in California, in the redwoods of California, and it's a club for the rich and the powerful in the United States, and there have been multiple presidents who have attended the Bohemian Grove, including a picture of Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan there at the Bohemian Grove. Bohemian Grove, let's see, Alex Jones was made famous in 2000 when he and his cameraman snuck in and filmed the cremation of care ceremony at the Bohemian Grove. Cremation of care is where the people at Bohemian Grove, the members, they don cloaks, carry torches, and carry a human straw effigy, and they sacrifice that effigy before the 30-foot concrete owl statue called the cremation of care ceremony. And that in the book leads us into the child sacrifice that went on in the Old Testament and how child sex trafficking, even though you don't have to burn the child in front of a god, that taking their innocence from them is also similar to worshiping these princes of the powers of the air. And why has so much undocumented immigration been allowed, illegal immigration into our country? Why have so many children disappeared across our border? It's because of these pervs, like Jeffrey Epstein and what's going on. And I'm not going to start naming a bunch of names, but Jeffrey Epstein is obvious in there. So, yeah.
Well, he's very well known because of the media, but how many more have we cut from the same cloth?
Yeah. It's obvious that CNN and Google are complicit in this. There are articles still today on CNN's website normalizing pedophilia. I even talk about them in my book. CNN has articles talking about, oh, how pedophiles are victims and how it's okay. And Rush Limbaugh, before he died, one of the things I remember him saying, and I was like, he's right. And this was, you know, by now 8 years ago, but I quote that in the book. And he's like, I'm telling you, their next push is going to be to normalize love with children. What's wrong with it is what he said, is what they will say. What's wrong with that? If they're both consenting, you know, what's wrong with that? And rushes, once again, from the grave, rushes right.
Absolutely. And you and I have talked about several times the speeding up of the evolving of our political and societal situation, and it seems to worsen by the day. Mm-hmm. We are so glad to have you with us today here on Watchmen on the Wall. We would draw your attention to the chance to go to marginalmysteries.com and order ahead of time your own copy of Micah's fascinating new book, Secret Societies. You'll get a chance to go also and take a look at Marginal Mysteries and some of the many endeavors that Micah has participated in there, and the books that he has already written that have done so successfully, so well. MarginalMysteries.com. And then if you wind up going to SWRC.com, the website for Southwest Radio Ministries, you'll see the resources tab at the top. You click right there and you can get immediately to it.
Micah has more insight on secret societies coming up on tomorrow's Watchmen on the Wall. Micah Van Hus's brand new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps, is now available. Should a Christian join a secret society? Are the Illuminati behind the Great Reset? Did the Knights Templar guard the Holy Grail? Is the Bilderberg Meeting attempting to control world governments? Find out in Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus. Order your copy today by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Secret Societies at our website, swrc.com. Did the Freemasons mastermind the American Revolution? And why is there so much Masonic symbolism in our country's infrastructure? Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus will set the record straight. Why have so many prominent American politicians visited the Bohemian Grove? And do they offer human sacrifices to the god Moloch? Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus will answer these questions. Order today at 1-800-652-1144. Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus. 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Secret Societies at our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Micah will conclude his series on secret societies. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.